Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining a community of poets, of writers, lovers of the written word, lovers of the spoken word. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the August 23rd. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. I am one of your hosts. Oh my goodness. Let me start this again.
It's gonna be a good night.
Let me start this again. Red leather, yellow leather, red. Okay. Unique New York.
Do you want me to hit the intro again?
No, I got it. We don't have to do that. Okay. Hey everybody, this is the August 23rd, 2019 edition. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. I'm sitting here across from the co-host, the man who keeps everything running, Mr. JT. How are you, sir?
I am good. How are you?
I'm dealing with the schnozitis, but I gotta tell you, it only happened when I came down to the studio.
Yeah.
It's just hitting me like this, man. So I might have to ask you to stall again a few times. Do you have things ready if I need you to
no,
do that?
No.
So this is a thing. So JT's prepared for everything except for when I need him to stall. It's kind of interesting how this works.
You know, I might have something here for you, JT.
Yes.
Let me see. No, you probably don't want to read my. You probably don't want to read my wallet. Oh, a road guide to the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It would be reading cities.
Okay, that's perfect. We can go with that if we need to. So JT, why don't you as soon as you're ready to sit back down here. Why don't you tell the people where you're going to be next week?
Oh, so next week. I will be out of town. I will be in Los Angeles, actually Long Beach, so which will be nice. But I'll be on my father-in-law's boat.
Well, so Long Beach is different than the Short Beach, but Long Beach is kind of really where you want to be.
It is different than the Short Beach. That is very true. I think that's just down the coast a little bit is the Short Beach.
Is it really?
It may be. Maybe around a little, you know, like a little lake or pond, maybe a short beach.
Kind of like Clement Park we have out here. There's the short beach. It's about 20 feet long.
Yeah.
The you know, you got to wonder about the people who finally saw that. They're like, you know what we should call this place? Long Beach. They're like, that's fantastic.
Right.
Everyone will know what you're talking about if you say the Long Beach.
There's not
a single other Long Beach in the world.
Nope, because, you know, Chile only has the longest coastline of any country.
You know, but they don't have a beach like Long Beach.
They don't have a beach like Long Beach.
That's true.
They got the most interesting terrain, though.
Well, says
some
who?
Of the
says
some,
who?
I do.
The Chileans say that?
Yeah, well,
oh, let's believe them, huh?
They only live there.
They only yeah, but they don't live here. They don't know that.
Right.
They don't know about the place you can go where all polarity reverses itself and gravity reverses itself. They don't know about that place that happens here in Colorado. Studio X, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Okay. No one knows.
So them. Impossibly cool. Sorry.
No one knows that I am, that usually during Studio X, I'm playing in zero gravity. And that me playing in studio, the videos that I post,
yeah,
they're productions, kind of like Stanley Kubrick's thing about going to the moon.
Oh.
I pre-record them and I just rehearse. I rehearse it.
You're doing fantastic.
There's so much work, man. I'm like a duck. I'm on the water.
Yeah.
My feet are going.
Yeah.
But you can't tell. But then if I go underwater, it just goes right off my back.
That's right.
I'm just a duck.
Yes.
I'm a duck of hard work and zero gravity playing guitar.
Yikes.
It's been a long week. Hey, tomorrow. Yeah.
Yes, tomorrow we are doing something.
Tomorrow some people have, very ill-advised people, have paid us a decent amount of money to teach them how to create podcasts. They're going to get all of this for how long? How many hours tomorrow?
Let's see. From 9 until when?
9:30 to 4:30.
That's almost solid 8. Yeah.
Yeah.
This.
All of this.
For 8 hours.
We should probably coordinate our clothing so we can act like we're twins.
Okay. That won't be awkward at all.
That's exactly. It's even better if you don't say anything about it. Well, yeah, of course. Of course we dress like this.
All the time. Oh.
It's funny. Every single day we're wearing the exact same thing. We don't even plan it.
That's right.
Yeah, you're right, Dennis. No Applebee's tonight.
Unfortunately.
And I really hate the fact that I am that predictable. All right. Well, hey, we've got a great show lined up here. Nevertheless, for this evening, we have announced the poet of the month. We've announced the poetic form of the month.
Yes.
This is all about poetry tonight. Now, really quickly, before we get into the rules and everything like that, this is just a saying it once again. We are now, as of now, accepting submissions for our 2019 World Poetry Open Mic Anthology. We're accepting submissions all the way up through October 31st on midnight, basically going into November 1st in this year as well. JT?
Yes, sir.
Very quickly, stall.
Stalling. I'm stalling. I just was not prepared for that. Idaho, Oregon. So there's from Briggs to Pendleton is 1 hour and 4 minutes, 107 miles.
Is it really?
Apparently.
I had no idea. Okay. So if you would like to support the show, contributing poetry is a great way because we put out the anthology, and the proceeds from the anthology go directly to pay for the stuff that we need to pay for, the website, domain stuff, all of that. All right. Now let's head into the – oh, by the way, I didn't say how to do it. If you want to submit to it, just send your poetry to us, worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Just say it's a submission for the anthology. There isn't a limit with how many you can submit to us. Of course, we kind of cap it right around 7 or 8 tops unless they're small. If there's more than that, we might choose the top 7 or 8 or something like that.
Right.
There's no fee for you to be in it. Okay? All right.
Okay.
Now let's go to the rules.
The rules.
The favorite part of this whole thing, poets and rules. It's better than us starting the show. Be like, all right, it's JT. Are we breaking out? Are we thinking outside the box on this one, or are we simply just breaking all the rules?
We're always not thinking outside the box. We are staying within the guidelines.
Of the largest box.
Exactly.
Outside of all the other boxes.
Exactly.
It's interesting how cats, who are kind of considered to be really outside of the box in a lot of respects,
love to be inside the box.
They're trying to go back inside the box.
All the time.
I'm not exactly sure what this is all about. Okay. That's the most true statement I've ever said. I'm not really sure what this is all about. All right. Here we go. Number one rule, no hate speech. We don't do that here. We never have. We never will. Rule number two, please skew your work to PG-13 if you can. We're not in the business of censorship, but we want to make this a friendly place for families, for kids, people like that. although we're not going to censor you if it's art, if it gets a little too blue, we should say language wise, we do reserve the right to jump in and suggest that you read it during an After Dark segment at the beginning of the month, the first Friday of the month. Rule number 3, be prepared. That means when we come on the line, please have your poem ready to go. Just respectful to all of the poets. We can keep the show moving that way. Same thing with rule number 4. Just please keep your work no longer than 3 to 5 minutes long. Just a respect thing. Keeps the show moving as always. And then rule number 5 is more for JT and myself. There's so many things going on here. We love your comments. We love your suggestions. The best way to get them to us is to email them to us at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. That way we can actually see them, discuss them, work on them during the week when we get together. All right. So, and by the way, I'm not going to say what it is. We got some big things coming up in the next few months.
We do.
We've got, well, I will mention one thing that I know we're okay with.
Outside of the anthology.
Outside of the anthology. We have all new recordings, new orchestration, arrangements, everything of this Edgar Allan Poe audio anthology.
Yes.
Brand new music. Brand new readings. It is really cool. Really excited about it. And that's going to be coming out in early to mid-October. It'll be on all the streaming platforms, iTunes, all that stuff. And that'll be really, really fun because we're looking forward to being able to have that out in time for Halloween, which would be great.
That'd be good stuff.
Even though you can listen to it any time, it still should be good. You know?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. We need 5 unique callers. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
So I was reading the chat room during this, and I saw that Barbara said it was Lover Day. Does that mean that's got to mean the Taylor Swift album? I'm actually looking at the chat. She just said that. Listen to the album all late afternoon. I was like, it is not Lover Day. That's April 23rd. Everybody knows that. You know what today is, JT?
What's today?
It's two very special things.
Yeah.
Number one, National Ride the Wind Day.
Ooh.
Which is either metaphorical and applies mostly to boys in 3rd to 8th grade.
Okay.
Or it is more metaphysical.
Uh-huh.
And I'm interested to find out what that's all about. How do you actually ride the wind? Unless it's about what do they call it? It's the hang gliding.
Ooh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You're not riding the wind when you're sailing. But hang gliding. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And two.
It's also called flight, but, you know, hey, whatever.
It's also a sound you make with your mouth, but that's cool. the other day, just a word, on a poetry show. The other thing it is today.
Yes.
Is National Sponge Cake Day.
That's why it was everywhere in the hospital.
That's probably, yeah, it's probably why. And also probably why Taylor Swift's album came out today.
Right.
She is a lover of sponge cake, I guess.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard that, actually. I'm just making that up.
Awesome.
Okay. Anyway, we've got 5 great callers lined up. Let's just head right into it by going to Michigan to say hello to Dennis. Hello, Dennis.
Hello. I'm here.
How are you, sir?
It's Friday.
It is Friday.
That it is. We checked our calendar several times to make sure.
Yes, and you're on the air tonight. I know you have a break night coming up, but it's not tonight, so no breaks for you tonight.
Yeah, we don't. We don't have breaks for how many weeks now? A couple weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll be on the air, sadly enough, on the air by myself next Friday.
Yes, you'll do awesome.
We will see. We will do our best.
You'll do just fine, no doubt about it. But we will miss JT. You know, it's just a fact of life.
It's true. you just miss him when he's not around.
That's right.
In fact, we should make a whole clothing line about that, JT. Missing JT right now? All you have to do is get... See?
Oh, see? See, million-dollar ideas
JT
on this show.
JTTheMissing.com.
Yes.
Yeah.
Million-dollar ideas, folks. Sorry.
I like that.
So Dennis, what do you have for us?
All right. I'm going to read another poem by the poet of the month. And the title of this one is Betrothed by Louis Bogan. You have put your two hands upon me and your mouth. You have said my name as a prayer. Here where trees are planted by the water, I have watched your eyes cleansed from regret and your lips closed over all the love that love cannot say. My mother remembers the agony of her womb and the long years that seemed to promise more than this. She says, you do not love me. You do not want me. You will go away. In the country whereto I go, I shall not see the face of my friend, nor her hair the color of sunburnt grasses. Together we shall not find the land on whose hills bends the new moon in air traversed by birds. What have I thought of love? I have said it is beauty and sorrow. I have thought that it would bring me lost delights and splendor as a wind out of old time. But there is only the evening here and the sound of willows now and again dipping their long oval leaves into the water. End of poem. A poem by Louise Bogan.
A beautiful piece and a very, very just solid and intuitive read, Dennis.
Well, thank you. She has a certain way with words and rhythm and even her rhyme. She's quite an interesting poet. And once again, I thank you for bringing her forward and having her as a poet of the month, because I always get to read new and interesting stuff from poets I should be familiar with, but maybe not. And she is one of them. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. That's my whole goal with that the poet of the month thing, is to be able to try to find people like that.
Yeah, and you're doing it so well. Thank you. There's a bunch waiting behind me, so I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis leading us off, calling from Michigan. JT, what's going on with my nose, man?
I don't know.
What's going on in
here? Do
you
need me to stall?
Just quickly. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, I don't even know. Okay, so this is what I've got. Ready? Yeah. A recipe for a hippopotamus sandwich. A hippo sandwich is easy to make. All you do is simply take one slice of bread, one slice of cake, some mayonnaise, one onion ring, one hippopotamus, one piece of string, a dash of pepper. That ought to do it. And now comes the problem. Biting into it.
That is a problem. Good job.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I like that. That was the best stall you've done.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And now I've it's taken me a little bit to realize.
We maybe should take this to Washington, JT.
You know what?
Be like, so, Michael, what about this weird thing you just put through? I'm like, stall, JT. Can I just run?
Yes, because that's.
I heard that. Oh, just, and it's, I'm not turning this political. I'm just throwing this out really quickly because I just loved the wording of this. It doesn't matter what the political belief is here. We're not doing tax cuts because the economy's great. We are doing tax cuts. We're not doing tax cuts. Then his economic advisor comes out. We're not doing tax cuts. We're working on a thing I like to call tax cuts 2.0. It's not tax cuts. It's tax cuts 2.0. And it's...
Wow.
So that's what I feel like sometimes when you're stalling. I feel like that's what you're having to do.
I feel like that too sometimes. Okay. I never thought about it, but I do
appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, let's go to a place where nobody says stuff like that. The home of the Colonel himself. Let's go to Kentucky and visit with Philip. Hello, Philip.
Hot tamale.
Hot tamale. How are you, sir?
I am fair to middling, better than average. I try not to complain. How's that?
I can see the value in that. You know, and fair to middling it could go either way, really. I guess at that point, couldn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, I like to stay on the tipping scales. You know, it makes things exciting. It's kind of like constantly being on a seesaw. You know, I am bipolar after all, so it comes naturally to me.
It's just kind of you're just up and down on that thing all day long. It's all right.
That's right. I wanted. Oh, yes, sir. I'm sorry.
Oh no. Go ahead. I was going to have you do it.
I just wanted to say the poet of the month on the revised site, the World Poetry Open Mic site, where you just enter everything. It's really handsome, and I love how you make the connection to places where you can seek material by that poet. That's really quite handsome. It's really well done, both of you. I'm sure that's JT or both of you. I don't know, but it really looks great, and I just wanted to say so.
Philip, I'm going to pull back the curtain. That's Michael.
Oh, really? Well, Michael, it looks really good.
Oh, well, thank you. I can do that.
Technical. I can't do website. I'm sure, with time I could, but he does a lot of that stuff. That's him.
Well, I'm impressed, and I can do neither of those things. So I'm impressed to both of you.
Well, that's all we wanted. We can end the show now. Thank you.
Thank you and good night.
We just got some validation. Woo-hoo! Only took us 6.5 years to get there.
Time to leave before it gets any worse.
Exactly.
Well, I will get to it. I know there are a lot of hungry poets waiting to get on the mic. The title... And this is the one that I posted today. The title is Standard Deviations. And here we go. Shuffle through deserted hospital corridors, no more real than memory, sepia tone, sun-worn blur. Probably sounds insincere to say I've heard the unsung share their lyrical echoes reverberate off naked cinder blocks. Recreation rooms filled with estranged adults who mumble among themselves, drowse to cartoon reruns, or wander away, dimmed into soft saffron dusk at opaque windows. Another wan season with a head full of haloperidol. Begrudged afternoons behind caged hours, circle back and forth the way Rilke's panther witnesses beauty afar before it disappears. The unbreakable bars accepted with futility. Gather my wordy scraps, wadded or wrinkled emblems, suicidal alternatives kept alongside the nurse-nabbed ink pens purloined at the visitor's sign-in. Only the mentally ill perform real magic, delusional enlightenment at the precipice, where angels reveal their ferocity more scathing and sublime than logic or necessity. Retrieve something dead from my stale bathrobe pockets, cigarette stubs, spare change, sulcus lesions, where leapt legion, ecstasy faintly scented with stigmata blood, and an unfinished poem about a bird ensnared on its way elsewhere. And there it is, fellers.
Beautifully done. I think that last line there reminded me of when I was a child once walking outside. It was a really really rainy day. I saw this kind of strange figure attached to a really old kind of lawn table that was there. It turned out that a crow had gotten its leg stuck inside the table, and I had to try to reach in with it, obviously trying to like keep me away, and try to free it. And it was a really crazy but very vivid thing. And I think that last line, backed up by everything else, that metaphor really connected it for me and reminded me of that.
Well, thank you, Sir Michael. I do appreciate that, and I appreciate everything you guys do. I truly mean that. So.
Wow, thank you.
I'm smiling, blushing, and I'm ready for the next poet.
I literally just told you your poem reminded me of a crow I had to free once from a table. if that's not as surreal as you get.
Well, you know, and then the irony in my mind, I'm thinking, well, that's pretty much what you've done for me, sir. You've helped, you know, get me out of this, you know, stuck whatever it was in my life, you know, with what you present for our fellow poets and so forth. And I mean that sincerely. I know it sounds like maybe a little bit like hyperbole, but it's quite true.
I appreciate that very much.
Well, you're very welcome, sir, and I will blush at you guys later.
All right, cheers. Sounds good. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Philip. And that was Philip calling from Kentucky. JT, I'm just pushing under my nose so I don't sneeze. I'm not faking a terrible mustache from a German chancellor.
No, you're not.
I'm just letting you know.
Definitely not. No.
I'm definitely not doing that.
I know that.
Okay.
I can tell. I have done this too.
Okay, good.
It's just glad good for radio. This. You know, that.
It's a good. But if we have video in here, the way we've been talking about doing,
yes,
this would have been a screenshot been, that could.
Yes.
This is why we couldn't go to
we'd new be memes,
or we'd be in Washington, and they'd be like, "So, Michael, what was happening in this picture?" I'd be like, "Stall, JT," and I turn and run off. Okay,
and I'd have to read a hippopotamus sandwich again. That'd be
just,
really
we just
weird.
Have you memorize it.
That'd be hilarious.
Yep,
I'll do it.
All right,
I'll work on this.
Sounds good. Sounds good. Okay, let's head now to New York to visit with Zach. Hello, Zach.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
We're just enjoying ourselves here. How about you?
I am enjoying listening to yourselves.
Well, then it all works out.
like with the previous caller, we can go. We're
done now. We're just everything we wanted.
You know, I'm half the way the show is going. I'm half expecting one of you to break into during the next stall JT. I'm half expecting a who's on first.
You know what?
You know what?
That could happen.
It could. I don't think I could pull it off by myself, but I'm pretty darn close.
You could always ask Andy to help you.
He's kind of a silent guy.
Yeah, but you know what it's like when we do the thing and the other.
That's
and
true.
And then he'll come back and he'll respond.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that last unicorn thing.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Anyway, Zach, what do you got for us?
Well, I got a poem called The Pursuit of Happiness that I wrote a couple of years ago. But, you know, first, before we go on, I just wanted to applaud you for your write of song. Yeah, I think you're doing great work with the Write of Song, and I think it's awesome.
I really appreciate that. Thank you. It's meaningful to hear that because that's a little vulnerable, you know, to put out there, I think. So it means a lot to hear that.
Oh, absolutely. The stories that have such interesting perspective, and, you know, when you were reading about the story in the airport, in the airfield, I like, wait a minute, these are all, are all these part of the poet? So that was an interesting story. And then, of course, you know, I had a little bit of, the movie with Sean Connery where he was the dragon.
The Last Dragon. I am the Last Dragon.
Dragonheart. And so, God, I love that movie. I just wanted to give a shout out to that. And so, without further ado, here's my poem, The Pursuit of Happiness. It's a big mistake staring at the ticking clock, waiting for an opportunity to knock. Nothing's going to fall at your door. So find something worth fighting for. When you realize success in life is not defined by your wealth, you can begin the journey toward the pursuit of happiness that will ultimately better your health. On this journey, there may be times when your heart may break, and the pain may feel like it's too much to take. But if you can find the strength to carry on, you'll find the things you can do will be remembered long after you're gone. End of piece.
Very, very nicely done, Zach. Way to go, man.
That's good. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's just a reminder that, you know, happiness is really, you know, we don't think about it anymore. We think about how we can make sure that we have a stable life. And, you know, we're all thinking about money, but, you know, for somewhere along the way, it seems like we've forgotten about happiness and, you know, finding happiness.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I see what you, I mean, I think it's one of those things you forget because you start thinking, oh, if I just had this, I'll be happy. If I just had this. And then and that's kind of a younger thing, a thing to do younger in life. And then eventually you come back to, wow, I kind of got those things, or I spent all my time chasing those things and I'm still not that much more happy. Maybe I should just let go and be happy. And I think that's a good way to go.
Well, that's the thing that's with me is that I've always wanted a chance at a relationship, but that's the only thing I've ever wanted. But, you know, everyone keeps telling me that relationships are overrated. Having a girlfriend or having a boyfriend is overrated. And you know, it just makes me disheartened that you can be with someone and say, no, don't do it. Don't get into a relationship. But, you know, I guess I've always held on to that, but maybe I shouldn't.
Mm. Yeah. I'm the wrong guy to ask about this. JT might be better about it.
Well, I'm not going to put you on the spot there, JT, but, you know,
He's just thinking in silence right now. He's just...
I can see. So which one of you guys is going to be sitting in the chair with a robe and a Pope pipe and smoke in their hand?
That would be me. You'll be sitting there. I love a pipe and a.
You what? You do?
Yeah.
You own a pipe?
No.
You own a velvet smoking jacket?
Yeah.
You do?
I want one.
Oh, you want, wanting one is, I want a castle. I don't have one either.
Hold on. So wait, there's a castle in this deal now?
There is whatever you want.
Oh, then that would be me. Yes.
No.
Castle, smoking a pipe.
No, I'm not going to smoke a
jacket,
pipe.
No?
I'm not going to smoke a pipe. I do have a velvet, I do have a smoking jacket from the 1800s.
Okay.
But I don't wear it.
I'd
unless
also be
plain. Unless I'm having my mansion parties.
Yeah.
All right, well, there's a lot of other people here.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it.
But, you know, our talks are always interesting, but I will be returning for the return engagement, so I will talk to you guys then.
All right. Wonderful, Zach. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And that was Zach calling from New York. You know it's great when the callers are like, "Well, we gotta go. Get going."
There's other people holding on the line. This is well done, Zach.
It would be like it's the equivalent of like a news show, and then like some big political leader calls in, and they're just like, "Is he? Can we just not take his call? Just tell him we'll call him back later, okay?"
Yeah.
And it's literally that, and I think it's deserved in those moments, and that was deserved from Zach. So Zach, thank you for that.
Well done.
All right, now, if she can tear herself away from Taylor Swift's new album, let's go to Connecticut to talk with Barbara. Hello, Barbara.
Hello.
How are you?
So, I'm good. I'm as good as anyone can be at this moment in this period of time in this place.
Well, awesome. Happy to hear that.
So you're as happy as anyone can be sitting in that chair at this exact moment right now, huh?
Yeah, because of just everything. So I'm as happy as I can be because I did listen to the Lover album, and everyone should, because it's just like a burst of sunshine into your heart and ears. And if you haven't listened to it, you should.
Okay.
And I'm going to. It was an interesting week, I will say. Okay, most of the week I wanted to climb under the covers. You know, it was that kind of week.
Which covers?
Dead covers, of course. What are the covers?
Oh, okay. Sorry, I was thinking about something.
No. But I didn't. You know, I persevered. It's not personal. It's more like everything. Anyway, I'm going to read my poem for the garden of poetry and prose. And the prompts this week were existence and remnants. And the quote, which was also a prompt, is what I started out my poem. So this is the quote. To what can our life on earth be likened? To a flock of geese alighting in the snow, sometimes leaving a trace of their passing. And that was by Sue Shi. And my poem. Contemplating the footsteps of writers. Sometimes on a snowy winter day, a flock of geese might be surprised by a noise or an intruder and rise toward the sky to find another place. Perhaps they had just arrived and were suddenly whisked away. You search the new-fallen snow for traces of their being, but find only a few delicate footprints scattered around, not enough to estimate the size of this group or know much about them. Too many people are like those geese. They arrive in this world and exist only in a physical sense, never letting anyone outside their immediate circle know who they are. Their existence is ethereal, for too easily what they were can be erased, and they have left little behind except the memories within their loved ones. But a writer is not like one of those geese, for in the markings they bring to the world is their soul. And they lay it out piece by piece, showing their goods to the world. Writers take what is inside of themselves and add a little dash of this and that to create a new piece. Their footprints easily stand out in the vastness of life, and some have had their words remembered for ages. They piece together the remnants of ideas until what they have is an entirely new creation, forged with the material they find in their journey through life and adding to the lexicon of language with their poetry or prose. A writer seeks to strew their footprints in as many places as possible, and unlike the geese who flit delicately on the snow, the marks a writer makes are deep and powerful. And they cannot be erased from the minds that read them. End poem.
Very, very well done, Barbara.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That was, you know, that's where I am now. I feel writers are very important in life, and I feel too that I don't think we could live without writing. Very, very important. My daughter was talking to me about her journal that she wrote when my husband passed away. And she stopped writing in it and just decided to, you know, not write in it for a while. And then sometimes when she said, she goes back and writes in it. I remember that when I was very sad, I wrote my poems, and they helped me a lot. So, anyway, my little homage to writers.
I think it's a good thing. I think it's a great thing.
Anyway, I'll get off and let the last person who's on this, who is definitely the, you know, like almost, I guess, the best, to come on. And be number five. So thank you, and talk to you later.
Talk to you later, Barbara.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
And that was Barbara calling from the land of hopes and dreams, a.k.a. Connecticut. It's funny.
Yes.
It's funny that it's funny that that makes people laugh.
Well,
because I think Connecticut probably is a land of hopes and dreams for a lot of people.
Yeah. I can, maybe I can
even
see
for
that.
You.
It might be.
You could go there and go, holy
heck,
what have I been missing?
Right.
You know?
I need to be here.
I'm going to stay here. I'm going to somehow decide to root for the New England Patriots.
No.
I'm going to, you know, I'm going to turn over a new leaf.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to work in, exactly. I'm going to start working as an accountant. I could see this whole big change coming for you, my
friend.
Whoa. I'm working on my psychic abilities.
You know what? I think you're almost selling me on this.
You could do it.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, before you make a decision, though.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's consider somewhere else.
Okay.
Let's go to Vancouver, British Columbia. And hear from Cynthia first. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi, awesomely entertaining show.
Well, I'm glad someone likes it. We're just off the wall here.
I was going to say this. I'm having an amazing poetry week. Last night, I went to see a wonderful Canadian poet. He used to hang out with Leonard. It's Trevor Carolyn. He used to vacation with Leonard Cohen. And he's got about 20 books out. We went to see him at an art gallery. And then after he invited us all to dinner, we all had dinner together at this restaurant where he told us amazing stories.
Oh, great.
And the reason I'm bringing this up is that one of the stories he was telling me is something that Zach would relate to Zach as well. I was saying we got into a big discussion about academics and our lives and what's the purpose of life and all these amazing stories. And then I was telling him, I said, I wish we could just be happy. And Zach's poem reminded me of this. He told me, so Trevor Carolyn told me, there's a country, a Buddhist country, a tiny little kingdom near India where people are just happy and the goal is to be happy.
Really?
And I didn't look it up. I mean, we were drinking. So now I'm wondering if I'm very gullible or if this is really true. But
That is something. That's kind of cool. Okay. Yeah. Well, whether it is a thing or not, it's a beautiful idea.
And it should be a thing whether or not it is, right?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah. But Zach's poem really brought that particular story up for me.
I think that's great. Yeah.
So my poem is I have a shorter poem. It's from my new book. And I don't know if people know that Michael designs covers. He has a business designing covers, and you can hire him to do your cover. So he did my, yeah. So I love the cover Michael did, Meditations for Writers.
Oh,
and this
you.
Is one of the poems that's in the book. This is For All Our Dreams. The white mystic sky opens to reveal a cerulean canvas. Bluebells in the wind, honeybees in lavender. The strength of spring unfolds into summer, shedding fears with the retreating winter. Like butterflies returned from the future, spirits flying ahead, we go forward to answer our calling. End poem.
I really like that one. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Of course. And thank you for calling and sharing and everything always. And thank you for that shout out there. I appreciate that.
It's my best cover. I'm so happy.
I love hearing that. Awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah. So thanks for having me on the show, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Okay. Sounds great. Talk to you soon. Sorry, JT.
No, you're fine.
Right. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia, wrapping up our first segment of five callers. All right.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ba-da-ba-da-da-da-dun. Da-ba-da-ba-da-da-ba-da-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba
could complain about things and people would listen to me. I'm just throwing this out.
Yes.
Have you noticed the recent trend of like the most popular, wealthy, powerful people in the world thinking now that people pay attention to them, they can air all their grievances about how badly treated they are?
Oh, yeah. They're horribly treated.
It's like,
mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yep. Okay. That's cool.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, what do I know? What do I know, JT? I'm not famous. I'm just a dude. A dude with a nose problem. Hey, let's do in the next call-in segment. We need five more unique callers. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic.
Rock the mic, rock the mic. When you rock, nothing can stop you. When you suck, nothing can save you. Rock the mic, hot. Hot, hot like this, I won't mess around. I won't waste your time. When you rock, when you rock. My name is Lenny C., and I'm here to rock the mic. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
All right, and we're back here in the second segment. JT, hearing that man's voice is always... I hope we never take that out of the rotation.
We won't.
He really deserves to live on with that. For those of you who don't know, that was Professor Lenny C. Actually was a professor.
Yes.
It was of English composition, right, and poetry?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, was it DU?
I think it was DU. It was a prestigious school around here.
Yeah.
But the thing was, he was a really humble guy. Yeah. He would go to all these things, and he would just blow people away. And he came, and he was in the first... it was within the first 6 months
of
World Poetry Open Mic. He came and he did something, and then not all that long after, he passed away.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the ways we remember him, is because of that.
And I am really glad we got to have him on the show.
Oh, me too. You know, we should go back and find that show, and then maybe we can find a way to like post it up.
Oh,
we can just listen or something, like YouTube or something.
Yeah.
That might be kind of cool.
Okay.
At any rate, we've got two awesome callers here lined up, and I'm really excited to have both of them. So let's just get straight into it. Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio, and to Mama Ola Deji. Hello, Mama.
Yes.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing well.
We're glad you could join us.
Hello?
Hello.
I am.
Can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine.
Because I'm just going to keep it light since we're having so much fun.
Okay.
So there's so many problems going on that I said, well, I don't want to read a sad poem. So the Amazon is burning up our oxygen and giving off sea carbon. And people think this contrived and someone did it so they can put more cement down and make more money off of cement cities again, killing all the farmland and the cattle, and just a big mess. It's just people shaking hands with the devil. So I'm just trying to keep it light tonight because you guys have been really making me laugh tonight, which I need that because I've gotten into another argument with another doctor.
Aww.
And this time it was a dentist. And that left a whole big root and a half of a broken off tooth down in my gum. Then tell me it wasn't their fault. I'm like, what? I said, would you put that in writing, please? He's like, no, I'm not going to put it in writing. I said, well, you mean to tell me that you're not going to take responsibility? I don't have an x-ray machine at home. I knew something's wrong. So that was the day before yesterday. Big fight. And I guess he was Muslim or something because he was, like, really just outdone that somebody was, like, talking back to him that was female. He started flexing his ego and acting all like you... You should have came back a long time ago. I said, well, I did, but you were out, the school was out on a summer break. And so I'm back now, you know. Well, you just made up all kinds of excuses. So it was just really horrible. He got on my nerves, you know. When people get on my nerves, I start acting like kind of crazy. I called him a bobblehead. Stop bobbing his head at me and make some sense. So anyway, I have a few poems pulled up here. I have one called Fungi, one about, that's about mushrooms, and I have another one pulled up about cheese, which is really funny. And then I have one pulled up as to why I love myself. It's called I Love Myself Because, and it was a poetry prompt. So cheese, fungi, or why I love myself. Which one of those would you like to hear?
Cheese. Really? I was going to say why I love myself, but JT is all about the cheese. So let's just go with that then.
Yes. I'm glad I like that one. Cheese. Okay. So you have to listen carefully to cheese because there's a lot of wordplay in here. Here we go. Did you say cheese? Cheese? Did you say cheese? Many have stopped letting it age. The pride of the industry has diminished in grade. The process is no longer done in accordance with time. The cheesy cheese can no longer be considered as fine grind. The quality of cheese is cheesy indeed. The pasteurization of milk, an unhealthy steed, has compromised the art of producing good cheese. Cheese from goat milk may still be tasty, but the price of good cheese has outweighed the need. It's a culture that's cultured into a profit for greed. I no longer desire the taste of this imitation bride. If the cheese were still cheese, I would eat plenty. But for now, my crackers are crunching on empty. Cheese. Did you say cheese? Well, this new cheese has no flavor. Tastes more like I'm chewing on paper. No more pass the cheese, if you please. But I'll pass on that cheese and I'll drink my wine with no brine. I'll drink to that until integrity is put back. I won't say cheese, even when I smile. To the cheese, I will simply just say no thank you for now. It's such a crappy batch somehow. Indeed.
So JT, what did you think of that?
I really enjoyed it.
He did. He's a fan of cheese and really everything that's quality about cheese.
Hey. I used to be in a wine and cheese club. I love cheese, but today's cheese is just like I said in the poem. I don't know what's going on.
You know what? I got to agree with you. I got to agree. You know what? The first time I ever had, this isn't so much cheese, but first time I ever had pasta carbonara in Italy, there was non-pasteurized eggs, which is farm eggs. And, because you can't get them here, right? You have to buy them all pasteurized. It was so incredible. It was amazing. I come here, I'm like, what is going on with the eggs in this country? And then I say things that people think I'm just off on my rocker. But I start complaining about the consistency of the eggs.
Everything.
People hate going to breakfast with me, Mama. They hate going to breakfast with me because I just complain about eggs.
It was so weird that
night. When you've known finer, it's kind of hard to settle for less.
Problem.
I went to the market the other day, and I ordered some chicken wings. And the chicken wings were about as big as my baby finger. And I'm like, so I just start, what in the world? I said, you people, let the chickens grow up. This makes no sense. Everybody in line started laughing. They said, make them look as if for real. It's really true. I said, you people, just like, give them time to grow up. My God. This baby could be no more than 6 weeks old.
See, I think that's something JT would do.
It's like really crazy.
He's just looking at me, nodding like, you'll get yours. You'll get yours one day.
Of course. Okay, you guys. I love you guys. You're making me laugh, so I'm just going to let the good times roll. Come on, baby, let the good times roll. Come on, oh, baby, let me thrill your soul. Come on, baby, let the good times roll. You know the rest. Roll all night long.
That's right. Thank you, Mama. We love you. We'll talk to you during the return, okay?
All right.
All right. So talk to you then. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. Laying it down, JT.
That's right.
Picking it up. Laying it back down. Why do we make ourselves laugh at things like this, JT? Why do we make ourselves laugh?
Because it keeps us light for the rest of the show.
You know, actually, there's a whole lot to be said for... It's funny, because if you saw us meet on Wednesdays...
Yeah.
We're really serious.
We are.
And it was. I remember the first time we did the show, and I kind of just really let go and was just... I remember your daughter turned to you going, is Michael playing the Rube? And it was really the thing where it's having the lightness, which is very... It is absolutely a physical, psychological kind of momentum.
Yeah, it is
important. And so we do keep it really light and really silly, but there's a whole lot of cool technology and things that we're using here in the background. That sounds really scary. Not in an NSA way, but really...
Right.
But ways that we can track things to make sure the show is flowing the right way so we can look at it and just kind of make longer-term decisions. There's all kinds of cool stuff going on here.
Yeah.
That you would never believe the two guys who talk like this have going on. All right. So let's go now to Arizona to visit with Mary. Hello, Mary.
Yes, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Were you waiting on me?
No, we're not waiting. You were ahead. You were ahead. I heard you saying hello the moment he clicked over. I'm like, man, she's living in the future.
See, I am on the ball today.
All right. Well, we're happy you're here.
Uh-huh. It's nice to join in. I miss you guys. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to tell you that.
Well, we miss you, too, and hopefully you know that about us as well.
Uh-huh. I'm going to play a little Julian Bream, who, if you haven't heard, you should listen to his music. He's a little guitarist. In the background of something I scribbled from my birthday, I was 58 a couple days ago. So this is how I'll join in with y'all. Go here. My chance at the dance. She pinned a flower on his shirt. He put one in her hair. They watched each other flowing now. Their seance taking. Aware of the colors in the room, the aromas in the air, how the freeing of our lips and eyes can shift our course from doom to dare. They filled each other up, dividing and enclosing. They came upon this time with dancing as a choosing. They come upon and prance now in its various forms of vows, the song. Its glory has begun. The light flows over and steps pick up. Pirouettes and spins and feeling falling, caught, embraced, thrust again into the night. Dizzy in love now, the pause in our faces enraptures the gaze, and the light crashes into our peace, and our sleep becomes sweetened and restful at last as we dream about our next chance. At this beautiful, almost divine dance. That's it.
That was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mary.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Now, are you
I like writing.
Yeah.
It pleases me.
Well, good. Yeah. It pleases us when you do it, too. Now, how is playing?
I love catching you all. I love catching you all. It's like catching the best train and taking a little ride.
JT's the one driving this thing.
Oh, boy.
I wish you had told me earlier.
That's always a bit of a crapshoot.
No, that will be next week when I'm driving. That we really don't know where we'll end up.
No, you guys are delightful. You work so hard and for so many years, and I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate that, too, and we appreciate you as well. Thank you.
Yeah, you have a good evening.
You as well. Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right, goodbye. And that was Mary calling from Arizona, a place that I'm kind of happy, temperature-wise, I'm not in right now.
Yeah?
You know, I've been thinking about it.
Okay. I think it's about time.
It's only taken almost 39 years. JT, do you know that I turn 39 in less than 2 weeks?
Yeah. I turn 41 a few weeks after that.
I know. That's kind of crazy, huh?
But, you know, I know a lot of our listeners go, oh, look at the babies.
Yeah. But I mean,
you know,
I feel like there's a lot.
There's a lot.
There's a lot to life.
Absolutely.
I honestly feel, I don't know about you, but I feel like I am so much more capable now in my life than I've ever been before.
Mm, yes.
To me.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah,
and
I
feel
do.
Like when I heard people say that whole life begins at 40 thing, I didn't realize what they meant. I'm starting to feel it. And by the way, we're still not at emotional maturity. The average age for emotional maturity for a man is 43.
Well, I'm going to get there before you.
What I'm going to do, you do that. You go for that. I am going to just lean into the remnants of my adolescent self for the next 4 years. I'm going to teepee houses. I'm going to do everything that I didn't do in high school. I'm going to start pulling senior pranks senior center. No, I'm kidding.
That would be messed up.
Or no, I will go to the senior centers, get seniors to come with me, and we will all pull pranks. Senior pranks.
Senior pranks. That would be awesome.
See? That's a YouTube channel.
People might tune in for that.
I think I would watch that, to be honest with you. All right. Hey, let's do this before we get any farther into this conversation and prove how much maturing we have to do in the next few years.
Yes.
It's time for the return engagement, otherwise known as the
return engagement.
Engagement.
Engagement. I
was not prepared for you. I'm sorry.
Obviously, I wasn't prepared for myself either. That was great.
Oh. Good stuff. Good stuff, folks.
I'm glad we can all laugh at this because if this was a professional thing, we'd have a real problem.
Woo!
All right. So it's time for the return engagement. Anybody who wants to call in and share another piece or even call in for the first time, you're more than welcome to do so. The number is 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back. The engagement is coming back like a boomerang. It's...
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Dude.
It's...
Let me try this again.
Yeah.
Like a boomerang, it's coming back. It's...
The return engagement.
Engagement.
Okay. Engagement. Do you feel better to you?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, good. Yeah, good. I feel better. All right.
You talked over that, too, because it just made it.
Don't tell anybody.
I'm sorry.
Hey, you know what I call that? I call that the drop 2.0. That's... We're all about that. It's not about...
It's not the original. It's
2.0.
It's something totally different, but not the same thing.
This is Return Engagement 2.0.
Right.
Yeah, so we don't actually play the other one.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really easy if everybody would just understand. All right, we've got six great poets lined up here. Let's just go straight away to it. Let's go to Dennis in Michigan in the number one spot. Hello, Dennis. Welcome back.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be back. Looks like I got all the Michigan pressure tonight. Looks like George bailed on us.
Yeah. It looked like he was having some issues with streaming when he was on earlier. And there are a few other things. So I hope he's doing all right, and we'll be in touch.
We all do.
Yeah.
I tease him a lot, so I'm sure he still puts up with me. I don't know why, but it's worked out all right for me.
yeah, for us as well. That's us as well.
All right. Well, I'm bringing to you another poem written in the form of the poet. The form of the month poem, which is a lay. And that's what I'm sharing with you. The title is Toying with Affections. You, fickle old moon, make lovers' hearts swoon tonight. Then you change your tune. Withdraw, you withdraw too soon. Sad plight. Crazy as a loon, lovers fight or spoon. Moon blight in the foam.
Wow. And I saw that email that you you sent earlier with that, and great job, and a cool read too. It reads really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's for a syllabic poem. It worked pretty well.
Ultimately, aren't they all syllabic, though?
No, no. Yeah, but the short ones make you work for them.
Oh, they, yes, they do. They do. I promise not to do a syllabic one next time, okay?
Well, that's fine. I'm good with that. I know how to count syllables.
You do. You just proved that very well. Yep. Yeah. So, thank you so much, Dennis. We appreciate you, and we appreciate your work and everything you bring to it.
Yeah. Thanks for introducing me to the forum. I have another tool in my toolbox.
All right. We look forward to seeing what you end up doing with it.
All right. I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up to the mic, and I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis.
God bless, Dennis. Thank you. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, leading us off here in the return engagement. You know where someone should go right after Michigan? Just take a wild guess of a random place.
Ohio?
Well, okay. Let's go visit Mama in Cincinnati. Hello. Welcome back, Mama.
Hello.
Cleveland?
Ohio. Cleveland, not Cincinnati, Ohio. Hello. Cleveland, Ohio. What am I talking about here? All right. Sorry about that.
I'm here. In Cleveland, Ohio.
Well, I figured you were. Yeah. It's my fault, Mama. I'm sorry.
So, I'm going to do Fungi.
All right.
You came as a miracle from the universe to Earth, from an outer universe to Earth. First, we called you what? Whatever you told us was better. We didn't know your name. You brought with you knowledge, and somehow your knowledge was instilled inside of our medulla oblongata. Though you favored our brain shape, mushrooms communicate with roots, tentacles, and spores. Mushrooms, you bring good news for those whom pay attention. Fungi fly high. Spores glittering in moonlit night, a secret society. Somehow you mate and create the workings underneath the ground. After the rain, we are surrounded by your encoded messages, or by the communication of your energy exchange as food or medicine. Sharing ancient alien knowledge, you whispered secrets to my daughter, and Kai told me of your plan. As she was tuned in to your frequency, Kai, mushrooms, Kai, synonymous, that humongous world of mycelium, her gift was interpreting your silent message. I think of you, Kai, with every mushroom seen or mentioned or thought of. I think of you with every new breakthrough. Kai K. Shell now means mushroom intelligence, a way of life, perhaps. In peace.
What'd you think of that one, JT?
I enjoyed that. I really did. Well done, Mama.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I love you guys. Bye.
Bye, Mama.
We love you, too.
We love you, too.
All right. Thank you. That was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, home of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
That's right.
That I'm not in.
Not yet.
I'm in the Western, though.
That's right.
All right. Let's go to Connecticut.
Yes.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi.
All right. Let's go.
Welcome back.
Oh, I wasn't gone, was I? No, I was here.
You weren't on the air, Barbara. You weren't on the air.
But I was here in the chat room. I was really here. I just wasn't on the air. Yes, that's true.
That's what the the form of speech means.
Sorry.
I didn't mean you actually cease to exist. I'm not an existentialist. I know you're there.
I'm messing with you, Michael. I'm messing with you.
I'm doing it right back to you.
So this week, did you get to hear that show I had on Thursday? Probably not.
No, I did not.
But it was really a fantastic show. And it was with the guy who is the director of the Holocaust Studies in Kane University in New Jersey.
Oh, wow.
Incredible show, Michael. If you're just an amazing person to speak with. He started out studying the beginning of psychoanalytic theory for a history thesis and wound up getting involved with the Holocaust and becoming a Holocaust scholar and writing 4 books on it. And now he's doing this book called, which is about bystanders to crime. And I don't know if I ever told you about this crime, but in Kew Gardens, Queens, where I lived, there was a woman named Kitty Genovese who was raped and killed right like a block away from where I lived. And I wasn't there when it happened, but it was written up because and became a big thing because the people in the apartment opposite to where she was being raped and killed, they heard what was going on, and I think one guy called out to tell the guy to stop doing what he was doing, but it was too late. And it was written up in the newspaper, in the Times, and it became a big source of shame. But he's writing this book on the bystanders, and he's trying to have a link to the fact that maybe some of these bystanders in that apartment house had been part of the Holocaust. They were Holocaust survivors. And so he's trying to find a link to that. And he, this is why I got in touch with him and got him on my show, he wrote to this guy who was the head of the Kew Gardens bulletin board, where people posted things about Kew Gardens. And I had posted about this situation, and he wanted my email to write to me to figure out if I knew anything or knew anyone who had seen the crime. So the guy who was in charge of this bulletin board wrote me an email saying this guy wanted to get in touch with me. And my daughter said, oh, I don't know, that sounds kind of creepy. But then I found out that he was like a professor at Kane, you know, University, and that he had all these awards and stuff. And he wrote me an email, and we got in touch by email, and then I saw what he had to offer, and I said, oh, my God, you'd be a great guest on my show. And sure enough, there he was on my show this Thursday. So the reason that I'm reading this poem is that I read it on the air, and he said to me that this poem – he wanted to use it because he wanted to put in, like, he's also doing this thing about moments that could be eternal that you didn't know at the time. So that's pretty much why I'm reading it. I've read this poem several times. It's in my book, You'll Probably Forget Me, Living With and Without Hal, and it's called Our First Meeting. So here goes. Our First Meeting. The week after Christmas, 54 years ago, we met in Kew Gardens, where I lived, barely a college student, in my black stretch pants and zippered sweater, only 17 and wary of the brash boy who had charmed me on the phone. You appeared, smelling of Old Spice, a wild wind of a man, and we walked to the Austin Theater, past the Pocket Park, its benches usually filled with ogling neighborhood residents, toward the neon lights to see Ingmar Bergman's Wild Strawberries. A first date, and you, the essence of a gentleman, slipping easily between brash boyishness and extreme care for me. As first date drifted to second and third, suddenly I knew you, this cavalier straight charmer, would be more to me someday. As if the message had been conveyed by angelic carolers. But I chose a callow Harvard boy for New Year's Eve, though this choice caused a hole in my heart when I heard of the pain you had suffered without me from my deceit, and your words on onion skin sheets wooed me from afar. I waited until we were wed to disclose the truth of that night, and you jumped ahead of the pack of fruitless, unconnected college boy dates. The one who felt right for me, whose humor brought me to tears, and who I wanted to spend my whole life exploring. And I knew that we were an ocean apart. Eventually, you would be my one. End poem.
Beautifully done.
Thank you. And he said this made him think of his life, and he told me that he wanted to use it because he felt there was a juxtaposition about the eternal stuff, so I think it's going to be in his new book.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so that's why I read it, you know. And it's funny, you know, you write poems and things, and you write things, and you don't realize, and I've written several poems about this, I guess, that some things are going to be eternal. You don't think of those things as being eternal, and yet there they are remembered years and years afterward. Anyway, I'm going to get off the phone. I know you probably have a lot of people behind me, and thank you. It's been a fun program. My browser threw me off twice. I don't know what was going on, but Dennis had the same thing happen to him. So
well,
I don't know.
You got to feed your browser. You know, you got to, like, occasionally you gotta give it some pie. That'll be nicer to you.
Maybe I should have given it sponge cake.
You know what? It's probably what's happening. It's probably protesting because you don't have some sponge cake. Feed the computer sponge cake, Barbara.
No. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Barbara.
Okay. Have a great week, Michael.
Right. You as well.
You and JT. Take care. Right. Bye-bye, guys. Bye.
And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. All right. Shall we?
If I could type, I'd be okay.
If I could do a lot of things, I'd be okay, but it's just such a long list. It's never going to happen. Let's head now to Vancouver, British Columbia, and to connect with Cynthia. Hello, Cynthia.
Hey, happy sponge cake day.
I know, happy. That's, we're so excited about that over here. I've got to tell you, I haven't seen a sponge cake in years.
I actually really like them. I might even serve it for dessert when I'm having people over this
weekend. They're done well, they're fantastic.
Yeah. Actually, though, people did say they're bringing the dessert. They don't trust me to make one, I don't think.
Oh, interesting.
Anyway, the Thinking about how my friends don't trust my cooking too. What are we going to read again?
Let's do it.
Oh, well, I don't know why they don't have confidence in my cooking, but we'll find out. The poem I'm going to read, it comes from, I went through this phase a couple years ago where I just did haiku, and I just did tons and tons of haiku and made them into poems. So this is a poem that's three haiku, and I called it Simplicity. Droplets of water glisten on misted needles, breathing the blue night. Dawn awakens blooms, canopy rustles with wind, butterflies alight. Clothes drying in sun, dragonfly comes to visit, momentum of grace. End poem.
That was a very cool piece.
Thank you.
Absolutely, it was great.
It comes from, I think I read somewhere, keep your life simple or even try to keep your life in a 1 mile radius. And I was really thinking about that. So I was doing some laundry by hand and drying them on the, just because I think the washing machine might've been broken, but I was also getting really into that, like drying things by hand.
I
thought like it forced me, like I think living simply forces me to enjoy life more. It means I got to sit out on the patio and just look at what was going on outside and write it down. So.
I think that's something that I'm working on at the moment, which is I do this thing where I overbook myself with work so often, but I never will push back dates. I will just work harder, and what that ends up meaning is that sometimes I'm, 18-hour days, 20-hour days, and I'm not stopping. And I'll do that day after day after day after day after day. And really the thing has been now that I need to purposefully plan time to just live. And I'm kind of trying to get a place where I can just do that, where work is the exception, not the rule, you know.
That's my life, too. And even if I just go stand on the balcony, everything changes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot to be said for opening ourselves up to what we want to live for and not just the work. But I'm a workaholic too.
So. I know, but I love working. That's my problem. I love doing this stuff. So why would I not? But yes, it's an issue. I get what you're saying too. Well, we'll work on it together. But I thought in the meantime, that was a beautiful piece and a great read too. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Of course. We'll talk to you soon. And that was Cynthia calling from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Yeah. Sorry. No, I know.
All right.
Yes, Michael.
Yes. Oh, you wanted those chili rellenos. Okay.
Sorry.
It's a special language we speak.
Yes.
All right. Let's go now to a place I like to call New York, to a person that I like to call Zach.
This is both good.
Yes, it is, because that's his name and that's where he is. Hey, Zach.
Hey, back from New York for the return engagement.
Yes, that is exactly actually how it should be said. To be fair, that's the proper dialect to say return engagement.
Hey, you guys were talking about eggs earlier, and it's funny that's actually my specialty. So if we ever meet in person sometime, one of the fondest memories I have is when I was in high school and I was sleeping on a reclining couch, and at 6 o'clock in the morning my friends had a dozen eggs and cheese and their favorite fillings, and said, "Hey, time to wake up, time to make us an omelet." Is that how have you guys ever had that your friendship, have you ever woken each other up to, like, hey, let's go get Denny's, or let's go get high? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You wake people up to do that, JT?
No, I don't wake them up.
They wake you up?
Yes.
I got to say, I mean, there's been times... sure. I mean, there was a good amount of time where my whole living was made performing music at night. Which makes it sound way seedier than it was. But I was literally 7 nights a week was playing music around, and I knew I was in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I knew where all the happy hours were at 7:30 in the morning, because that was my day was still going. And I would be going to bed at like 9 a.m., waking up again at 3 or 4. And, you know, so every time I had to meet somebody or go to some appointment during the day, it was like having to get up at midnight and go to the doctor. You know, it was just horrible. So, yeah, I'm sure that some of those things happened quite a bit then that seemed completely normal to a lot of people. But now I'm up earlier than all those people. So, you know.
Well, you know, that's the best time to do stuff like the Rite of Song. I've noticed that you've said that the birds haven't even started waking up, the lazy bastards.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, I'm up working. Where are you?
Doing the right thing and sleeping a little bit longer. Hey, thank you very much.
Yeah. But you know what? They can sing a Bach cantata by themselves. So I feel like I got to get up a little bit earlier and work a little bit harder.
Yeah, got a little competition out there.
It's not even competition. They win every time. So I've just got to work harder. Anyway, Zach, appreciate your support and everything on it.
Yeah, man. One of the things I'm working on, actually, I decided to test myself as a writer, and I wrote a screenplay in college, and I sent it into a contest, and I find out if I go into the quarterfinals on Wednesday.
Good. See, this is forward progress. I appreciate that, man. I'm really happy to see that you're doing that, and just let us know what the results are, one way or another. It doesn't even matter. You know, you're just taking you're taking the at bats. That's what matters.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's a love story of running away from the mob.
Who doesn't love that stuff? Program. Yeah, of course.
In the witness protection program, he kidnaps his girlfriend, and I had to make a tagline for the contest. So I said, "He lied to her. He kidnapped her, but she loves him."
Okay.
It sounds like. It sounds like my life. No, I'm not kidding. That's not true.
Wow.
I've never kidnapped anybody or been kidnapped myself, although I've been in situations that in my new book I'm actually explaining that are very similar to that kind of scenario, but it's not as weird as it sounds, but weirder.
Well, since it's called Love on the Run, the poem tonight that I decided to read is called You Make Me Ready for More. And as I've grown as a writer, I've tried to get into more more similes and metaphors. So this is one of my first ones that I was really experimenting with that kind of work. So I'll get right into it. I need to get something off my chest. When it comes to friends, there's no second best. And when it comes to people I love, every time I look at you, I forget about the rest. It's amazing how your words give me so much hope, like a street lamp guiding me home in the night. And yet when I finally find the words I want to say, I look at you and it's like I'm being hit with kryptonite. I don't know what the future has in store, but as long as you're in my life, you make me ready for more. End of poem.
Well done, sir. Well done. I like the use of metaphors and similes.
Yeah, like a street lamp guiding me home in the night, you know, darkness and light. And I keep going back to those themes, and, you know, I feel like they're just so relevant. Like, they're so relatable that, you know, everyone, you know, keeps seeing this darkness and, and it's about finding someone who can help you find their light.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it and appreciate your work. We see the growth. It's awesome to see. Keep at it, man.
All right. I will keep at it and you keep at it.
All right.
And whatever JT does, he can keep at it too.
Oh, I will.
JT's at it all the time. Actually, So JT has a book out. You don't know this. It was before your time. He has a book out of haikus. It is what is it called again? It's a something from the.
It's the Haiku Master.
Uh-huh.
Haikus from the Haiku Master himself.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Haikus from the Master. Okay, yeah. So actually the thing that's really cool is that the title is a haiku itself.
Huh, I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, he's working on another one, though. We don't know when that's going to be out yet, though.
Now, don't set a release date for yourself, because then that's where everything starts to go downhill.
That's why we wait until things are done.
That's right.
Everyone was waiting for me to release my book, but when I decided that it was time that I take a step back and look at my reevaluate my poems and make sure that I get the right impression. They are like, when's your book coming out? And I'm like, I don't know yet. It's gonna be next year for sure. I just don't know when.
Yeah, you know what a good answer is for that, honestly, is if they say, when's your book coming out? If you just say, you know, I'm trying to make it the best it possibly can be before I do that, and I'm trying to learn all the things I need to do, so the book will come out when it's ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a good one. When it's ready.
When it's ready. All right, well, yeah. When it's ready, I will let you guys know, and, until then, I will talk to you next Friday.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you then.
All right, good luck with the workshop.
Thank you, sir. Really appreciate that.
Yep.
They're the ones who are going to need it, though. All right. That was Zach Kahn from New York.
Oh.
All right.
It'll be interesting tomorrow. It'll be good.
I think it's going to be really good. And hopefully we're able to bring all of the value that they want.
Yes.
And I know we can.
Yes.
We know our subject matter.
Yes.
Very solidly here. So I think it'll be good. All right. Let's go now to Mary in Arizona. Hey, Mary, are you there?
She needs to call back.
Yeah, I can never tell if that's a fan or not.
I think it's a Skype thing.
So, Mary, if you can hear us, we cannot hear you. So, please, let's have you give us a call right back, and we'll take you live, okay?
Awesome.
JT?
She's on it. She did.
I was going to be like, JT, cut it off.
Do the thing. No, she did it herself.
JT,
she's awesome.
Do the thing. Do the thing.
Excuse me. Sorry. Oh, there she is. Look.
All right.
Boom.
Hello, Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
Why do you put me through this torture every time? I'm 58 already.
I don't know. I don't know why we do what we do.
Oh, happy belated birthday.
Thank you very much. I announced it twice. Evidently, I'm happy to be here. I remember when I was 53. When I was 53, my daughter said I was 53 for about 10 years already.
Oh, that was nice.
So now I said I'm gonna, and so now I said I'm gonna be 58 for about 15.
You might as well. I think I actually had this thought the other day, Mary, that what I might do at my next birthday is instead of actually telling people the real day, I have no reason to stick to any type of chronology. So why don't I just start just randomly throwing out numbers? It doesn't even matter.
Right.
It's your birthday. How old are you? 87. Right. 32.
I'm 84 on the fourth.
Yeah. I'm 7. Like
my golden birthday, I'm 49. Yeah. Whatever.
I'm not lying about my age. I'm just obscuring the issue.
Oh, I see. You're just covering it.
Well, not for any other reason than I'm so serious most of the time, Mary. Every now and then, a man needs to step up.
Michael,
and,
you're a baby.
You know, you need
you're
to serve.
A baby.
You need to. Oh, I'm not worried about. I love getting older. I'm just saying. I think that the, occasionally I need to serve the world just a nice dose of absurdity.
This is true, and at any age, it's refreshing to see that absurdity. I agree. When my daughters give me something, and how old are you? Like 40.
I'm going to be 39 in just a couple weeks.
See, I took you for that almost in that middle where you're so bright already.
I got a lot of work to do.
Oh, see how it takes a long time. All right, I just have this thing about our leader. I'll sing this little song about it. The village idiot will always speak.
the village idiot will always speak since the beginning of being able to, from any land or mountain peak. Unfortunately for me now, in my own country. See, the village idiot will speak whether from the bourgeois elite misguided or from the riffraff unable to grow without sun, water, or light. Sounds about the same in all the important tones. If he is loud enough, we hear him. We don't have to heed what he spouts from, the visceral parts of his head and the roofs of his jagged mouth. He may spew of hatred and fear, showing his wounds and his ignorance. He may wish us to feel prejudice like him, against who or what he fears. In his laugh and his half-life whole, he's only partially grown from within self. His box is only the only box of existence he knows, and he wishes us to live in his box, but not even his marginal ideas or agonal rhythms that make sense to us. I whisper, we all have boxes. Some will listen and heed and follow him too. Some will stone to death those he says to and will embrace this willingly at the time, separating the thems from us with walls and bricks and mortar shells. Like that will help the children grow and learn to love the earth. Some will denounce him and spit at him and wish him dead and may plot and try to kill him. But that will not change the village idiots from speaking, nor their frequency. They will always be among us, like the laws of averages and bell curves. How hard this life to endure for us, my dear loved ones. Perpetualization of hate, no realization of how to close the open gashing wound and make men weak and preposterous. How we treat our children and our seniors and others weaker than us, that will speak of our humanity as a country or as an individual through the test of time. The village idiot, he will boisterously scream. That just speaks to me of the unrest of the ground beneath and the volatility of man. The chasms we can fall into remain deep and deeper and many variety. Woe to us who remain blind and without heart. All is lost then. A leader has a duty to do more, in my mind. End poem.
You know, I have to agree with you. I mean, not that I'm not enjoying writing on this surfboard as we go up and down the stock market waves, but I think there's a lot of. In a way,
money makes the world go round in short term and in long term and in the longer term. And if we can see that and we realize that money is it's useful, but oh, woe to those that get blind by it.
But think about this too.
And we can help the world or we can kill it.
It's very true. And one of the things that I at least in the specific situation you're talking about, I started thinking about that was interesting is. For those who rise by money, the moment that the ego gets in the way of money and all of their egotism starts to cost all the other guys who have a lot of money, aka the stock market going up and down, the person who was put there isn't going to last very long. I think it's almost like
I don't want to trivialize
the
matters of the earth. They're far and wide.
It is not a trivialization. No, in any respect, but I think what it really is, it's like seeing something Jungian playing out in real life. It's like we're watching a fairy tale. Yeah.
We watch all the people respond, we watch the responses, we watch the waves of the anger and all the idiots, all these little children watching Trump jumping around like a maniac thinking they should do it too. No, woe to the world. Let's get rid of this one.
You know, I will be honest with you, though. I spent a lot of time around little kids, and not a single one of them think that that's a good idea.
Gee, isn't that beautiful? Even a child knows. But, you know, they listen to their parents, too.
Oh,
and the parents get blind, and then they start trying to teach the children.
That's
and how
true.
The children grow up will be a lot like their parents, unless
that's
they
true.
Learn better.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, my spout is done. I got off the pulpit. Mary, get off the pulpit.
Get off the pulpit. Oh, don't step on the Pope on the way off the pulpit.
She fell. She fell off the pulpit. All right.
All right.
Thank you very much for everything, Michael, and JT and the venue.
Hey, thank you very much. We love you. We'll talk to you soon.
Good night.
Good night.
Yeah, love you too.
JT,
yes,
you are
sir.
The chosen one.
I am the chosen one.
You're supposed to say it back to me. Because apparently that phrase has no meaning anymore. You are the chosen one. You say, you are the chosen one. And say, thank you. Anyway, you don't know about this?
No. This is new to me.
You've been stuck in school mode. I'll tell you about it off the air.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. So before we end for the evening, I'm going to just say one more kind of quick thing. If you would like to support the show, a great way to do it is by contributing poetry to our 2019 World Poetry Open Mic Anthology, like so many of you have already. But this is also for the people who listen to the podcast. Believe it or not, we have a much larger podcast audience than we like to listen to the replay than listen on Friday nights. So basically, the way you support is by sending in your poetry, and what we do is we put it in a beautiful-looking anthology. The purchases of that anthology that come out a little bit before Christmas then go to help support the show. It goes directly into paying for the hosting and all of that. So it's a great way to support what we do, and that's really the thing that funds us for the entire year. So if you want to jump in and help with your words, with your poetry, you can send the submission to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Just put in the subject line. It's a submission for the anthology, and we would love to see your work and to be able to include it in this awesome collection. All right, everyone. We want to say thank you. JT, do you have anything you want to add?
I think I'm good.
All right.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course. And thank you, everybody. So from Novia, the studio cat, from Ursa, the studio dog, from JT and from myself, thank you so much for spending your Friday evening with us. We love you. We'll talk to you next week, or I'll be here next week. And until then, keep on writing. Good night.